handles and turn to page number 90. Page number 90. I'll live in glory to page number 90. Let's all stand, number, page number 90.
I like to stay here longer than the allotted days. That's all right.
All right, let's pray for Mr. Chris.
If you don't care much about him and the things he's done for you, if his word you take for granted and you don't believe it's true, if the blood he shed on Calvary won't melt your heart of stone, please don't criticize him. He's the rock I'm leaning on. He's the rock of my salvation. He's my refuge from the storm. In sorrow, he's my comfort. He's the reason I was born. He's the one I can depend on when all my friends are gone. So please don't criticize him. He's the rock I'm leaning on. He could be your savior. He could be your dearest friend. While at your door he's knocking, if you'd only let him in, he could be your strength and courage when you feel you're all alone. So please don't criticize him. He's the rock I'm leaning on. He's the rock of my salvation. He's my refuge from the storm. In sorrow, he's my comfort. He's the reason I was born. He's the one I can depend on when all my friends are gone. So please don't criticize him. He's the rock I'm leaning on. So please don't criticize him. He's the rock I'm leaning on.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter, look myself, I'm going to say chapter 9, let me see if I'm right. I'm right, chapter 9. All right, hope that you are in prayer for our revival meeting as we'll be starting this Sunday. And pray for Brother Church, and pray that the Lord will give him the messages that we stand in need of, and we're looking forward to the good spiritual food. We're going to have some physical food also. Right down here on the front, I'm going to put a sheet. And I'm going to be having hamburgers. And the church will provide the hamburgers and buns and ask you to bring the things that go with it. I put down just a few things here. If you want to add to it, you feel that you can do so. I put down lettuce, tomatoes, onions. And let me ask the ladies, how are we on the condiments? Do we have mustard, mayonnaise, and all that stuff over there? Do we have all of that? I put a question mark because I didn't know on that. Chips, maybe somebody feel led the Lord to make some tater salad. That's the way I wrote it, tater salad. And who? Okay. And yes, ma'am. Okay. All right, appreciate that. I put on their desserts too. So anyway, I'll let you think about it during the service tonight. If you can come and kind of sign up, and then that'll give everybody an idea what we need to get. And of course, the Saturday, a busy day also.
2 o'clock be Caleb's birthday party number 2. And then at 4 o'clock, Miss Teresa's candle party. Is there anything else we need to announce as far as activities and things like that? Busy weekend coming up. Sure, isn't it? So let's remember those things. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I keep going back to this same thought. I don't really like the terminology, but the Lord hadn't given me anything else. I just say some random thoughts that Solomon is talking about in verses 1 through 3. He talked about the fact that good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people, and that's part of life. And we just have to just deal with it. And some people get the idea that when they become Christians, everything becomes a bed of roses. But don't forget that with roses, there are thorns. Okay? That's something we have to keep in mind. So they're just times get a little tough. Then in verses 4 through 6, last week we talked about how that as much as we don't like to talk about it, there is a necessity that every person must face, with the exception of the rapture of the church, which we missed Saturday. And it's been rescheduled. Yes. And that's death. Right, it's appointed a man once to die and after death the judgment. So he talks about that, even though it's not a popular topic, it's a real topic. Well, let's go the opposite here. Verse 7, he's going to deal with something that we do forget sometimes, and it's a good, what he talks about is a good thing. Let's talk about that for just a few moments. Verse 7, chapter 9, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Now let's talk a minute. 3 things he says to do here. And here's what the principle is that he's going to talk about, and then we're going to deal with it as he outlines it. We must be very, a couple things we need to be careful about. Okay? And we're all guilty of it, sure as the world. And I guess we always will be guilty of it. And I don't advocate it, but I do it. Here's what I mean. You say this, it's Tuesday, and you say, I sure wish it was the weekend. Or whenever your day is off, some people have to work weekends. So maybe Thursday and Friday are their days off. But whenever their day is off, we say, okay, I sure wish it was. Now, I don't have a problem with that because I like time off like everybody else does, but you know what we're saying. We're saying, Lord, I want my life to pass rapidly. Okay? That's really what we're saying. Lord, I want my life to speed up so I can enjoy. I want to sacrifice 5 days to enjoy 2. Now, is that necessarily right? Because if a 24-hour period of time is a gift of God, okay, then am I wishing away something that God has given me in stewardship? Now, are you thinking with me here? Okay. You say, well, preacher, I don't care. I just want the weekend to come. Well, I enjoy it. I know that's true. But you know what? The weekend ends. Here comes Monday, okay, or whatever day is your first day. Now, what you going to do with Monday? If you were an unsaved person, you might curse Monday, okay? But Monday still comes. So what do I do? It's really... If there is a running theme so far in this chapter, it's what do I do with bad situations and how do I make them good? He says 3 things to start off with. He says, go thy way. Just quit dreading Monday. Monday's coming. Deal with it. Somebody said, embrace those things that cause you grief and heartache and go on with it. Just say, okay, it's here. There's no sense in me worrying about it. It's coming. coming anyway. And sometimes I have found, and I don't know if you're this way or not, I have found that the dreading is worse than the actual day when it gets there. I worry 2 and 3 days in advance, and then when it comes, it's like, wow. Because I feel bad worrying about things. I feel bad that I'm, again, things that I could be doing, things that I could be enjoying, then I'm going to worry about, and I'm going to worry away my good days. Now, I want the weekend to come, Saturday and Sunday, but then we worry Saturday and Sunday about Monday. So it's like we lost Saturday and Sunday. He said, go thy way. Just go on.
Understand
that days go on.
Weeks go on.
Hours go on. Months go on. Years go on. Life goes on. And we have a saying today. People said, life goes on, deal with it. And in a sense, that's what Solomon is saying. Solomon says, deal with it. Go thy way. Eat thy bread with joy. Now, sometimes I think we, and maybe not we as in us in this church, but I know that when you look at people, society today has become very greedy, and they want everything they don't have. When your mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas worked hard to get what they got, it took them years to get it. Now, young people go and they'll sign up and they'll go to something like Aaron's Rental or some of these rental places.
And
they go into rental, they go into credit, and they get thousands and thousands of dollars, and they've got exactly what it took grandma and grandpa 20 years to get, and they got it in 20 days. But then they've got this incredible bill to pay. Then they're worried, where's the money going? What am I going to do? How am I going to make ends meet? How's the budget going to happen? I'm working for StarTech, and now 600 jobs are going out. That kind of principle. Can you eat your bread with joy? Somebody says, well, I wish I had this kind of car. Well, yeah, I guess we all do, but we may not have a brand spanking new 2011 whatever. I went to a revival meeting last night up in Bassett, and Dr. Harold Venable, some of you know him down in Reedsville, he was preaching, and he said, let me see if I get this right. There were three things he said that most preachers like: chicken, a check, and a Cadillac. Well, I've never owned a Cadillac, don't see it happen, especially the price of gas. But you know what? There are a lot of things I can say, I wish I had, I wish, I wish, I wish. And we set our sights, but you know what? There's the same principle of wasting life and wasting desires. Because, okay, if you don't have a Cadillac, what have you got? And does it move? And does it drive? And does it get you from point A to point B? Then eat your bread with joy. See that? Eat your bread with joy. Don't be dissatisfied. Don't get to the place where you are, again, in a sense, wishing your life away. Don't sit down and say, oh man, I wish I lived in this kind of house, or I wish I lived in, had this kind of vehicle, and I wish I had this kind of job, and you sit and fret about it. Just enjoy what God has given you. That's exactly what Solomon's saying. Can you change it? Well, if you could change it, you would have. I'm convinced that
the things that are changed in our lives
must be changed by God. God has to do change. Can a leopard change the spot? The Ethiopian, the color of his skin? Solomon said that in Proverbs. The answer is no. Things that's going to happen in your life, only God can change it. I'm convinced of that. I've always tried to have my Christian life and decisions that I've made on what I call the open and closed door principle. You remember where the Lord Jesus said that
I'll open the door that no man can close, and close the door that no man can.
And when there come decisions, major decisions in my life, I pray and I say, now, Lord, I'm claiming the open closed door principle. Lord, if it's not your will for me to do thus and so, then, Lord, I want you to shut that door and I want you to shut it hard. And do not even let me be tempted with a crack. Okay. Or, Lord, if this is your will, I pray that you will swing the door open wide and help me to have enough sense to step through it. But I don't want even a crack, because if there's a crack, I might try to put my foot in it and open the door. And I believe God does that sometimes. I believe God will let you step through what's called the permissive will of God. The permissive will of God could be being out of the will of God. You say, why? Because if I want something bad enough, God says, all right, you can have it. And the permissive will of God could be being out of the will of God. So that we can see that we're out of the will of God and we come back. Is that true in somebody's life? Can I give you one word? Jonah. I preached through Jonah on Wednesday night some months ago, and we saw a man who was a prophet, called by God to be a prophet. And he was given the permissive will of God, and that permissive will of God was that he ran away from God. And God came back and ministered to him, but he went through a hard road. He had to go by way. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy. That's so important. Enjoy what you've got and don't be upset and don't grieve and don't worry yourself slapped to death and say, oh, I hate my life. Just one life. 'Twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so we should say, God, I don't have much. I may not be able to afford a filet mignon. And I may not be able to go to some. There's so many of these. I hear of these restaurants that are so expensive. One I think I mentioned that someone had told me about, I heard of, and I don't know if it's still in existence or not, called Ruth Chris. The steak, not the baked potato, not the salad, not the rolls, the steak itself, something like $50, $75 just for the meat. Then everything else adds up to about $150 for one meal, for one person. And if somebody wanted to take me, I wouldn't say no. But I sure am not going to save up $150 to go and do that. Well, just because I can't afford to go and eat at a steakhouse for $150 a meal doesn't mean I'm going to whine about it. If all I got's what I had for lunch today, I had Baptist round steak for lunch. You don't know what that is? That's bologna. That's bologna and mustard and bread. That was my lunch. All right? No, I didn't worry about it. I didn't have all this stuff. No. But you know what? Eat your bread with joy. Now, the third thing he says is, and I want to take a few minutes to deal with that. He said, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart. Well, you're saying, preacher, is Solomon advocating alcoholism? No, he's not. Is he advocating social drinking? No, he's not. Because there is a principle set in the Bible, and I'll just hit it and run. And that is this, that there are two kinds of wine in the Bible. There's alcoholic wine, there's non-alcoholic wine. Non-alcoholic wine is grape juice. Okay, it is unfermented. Culture was back in that day different. It's not like we had back in those days. They didn't have sweet tea, unsweetened tea, caffeine-free, unleaded. You know, they didn't have Diet Cokes. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have those kind of things. So you had fermented wine. You had unfermented wine, the equivalent of our grape juice type thing. God, you say, how do you know that, preacher? I know that because of biblical teaching that God said, look not upon the wine when it is red. Bible even goes so far as to give a curse in the book of Habakkuk to him that gives his neighbor drink. And in the context, talking about alcoholic beverage, it's very clear. Okay? People can argue that point, and I'm not here to argue the point. Because the reason some people, it just goes back to the same principle, they're alcoholics. People say, well, I can stop anytime I want to. Well, the problem is you don't want to. That's the whole bottom line. Okay. So he's not talking about drinking alcoholic beverages there. But he is talking about the fact that the key being, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Most important thing in all the world is to be in the will of God. Doing what you know God wants you to do. I talked about two things a minute ago. I talked about the permissive will of God and the selective will of God. Are you in the selective will of God? The selective will of God is that you are doing absolutely the thing God wants you to do. Are you in the permissive will of God and God is just letting you, if you will, get by? Romans 12:1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Three things the Bible will tell you about the will of God. It's good, it's acceptable, it's perfect. And if you're doing God's will, those three things are manifest in your life. You will have peace, you will have God's blessing, and you will have joy in your lives because God now accepteth thy works because you're in the will of God. Verse 8, let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. You know what that means by wearing white clothes? It speaks of purity. Live your life right. Live pure. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say that we should not sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. One bad decision can mess up the rest of your life. There are people who have messed up because they did not behave correctly or according to the standards of the Bible or according to moral standards or whatever you want to call it, and they paid a price for it. And the Bible says, let thy garments be always white. Here's a policy that you need to live by. Some of you young people here need to take this policy I'm going to share with you. If you want to live a good life, always do right. Always do the right thing, and you won't have to worry. You will not have a headache. You will not be grief-stricken. You will not live with total guilt. Always do right. No matter how hard it is, you will be blessed. And that's exactly what he's talking about. You say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to go do my thing. Yeah, do your thing. But you know what? Somebody says, well, I like to go out and sow my wild oats. There is always a harvest. And they're not pleasant. Verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. You know what's a... Do our homes perfect? Absolutely, positively not. Homes are human. Do people have arguments? Yes. Do people have cross words? I might have told you the story. We were in Bristol, Tennessee, years ago when I was preaching in Sunday school class. We were sitting in the teacher. I'll never forget it. Beautiful white hair this man had. Combed straight back, white as snow. Three-piece navy blue suit, white shirt, solid red tie. Teaching. And I've been married so many years, I forgot how many, you know. And he said, my wife is sitting right here, said, we have never had a cross word in all the years that we've been married.
Thought to myself, this is
either the most godly man I've ever met in my life, or he's one big fat liar.
I told
somebody one time when I told him, I said, Miss Darling, we never have crosswords. They go so fast they don't have time to cross. Most of us do not represent the American dream of a home. Here's what I mean by that. High school quarterback. High school captain of the cheerleading squad. Perfect people. Ken and Barbie. And they get married. And it's all purely flesh. 10 years and 3 children later, he gets up. He had a very massive physique, big chest, strong shoulders, big biceps, and he had a terrible disease hit him called the furniture disease. His chest dropped into his drawers. Had to get him some suspenders, hold his britches up. Hair starting to thin out. Okay, not that good-looking fella he was maybe back in high school. He rolls over one morning and looks her in the face, and there she is, and she's wired for Radio Free Europe. She's got all those curlers and wires in her hair, and no makeup. That little tiny waist, no mo. Those 3 children took care of that. Now, here's the reality. That home will last if it's built on the right thing. But if it's all flesh, they're in the divorce courts. When you love somebody, it better be for the right reason. Better be because you love Jesus and your mate loves Jesus and you both love Jesus. Because sometimes when those arguments take place and things get a little rough, it's going to have to be Jesus that'll save the marriage. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe Christians ought to get a divorce. I don't think they should either, but it happens, doesn't it? It just happens. For whatever reason, it happens. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity. Don't forget the theme of the book. It has to do with right now. Dr. B.R. Lakin, I've quoted this many times. Dr. B.R. Lakin used to say, we are so concerned about the sweet by and by that we forget about the nasty now and now. And we are. That's vanity. That's foolishness. That's living under the sun. And here's the bottom line, folks. Yes, we're going to live. Whatever we live down on this earth is not long compared to eternity. But we got to live down here. Bottom line, you got to live here. So do it right the first time. Because notice the emphasis he keeps putting on joy and gladness. God wants us, and I don't want to sound like one of those televangelists on TV, but God does want us to live down here with some joy and some happiness and some gladness and some peace and enjoy the journey. He does. Somebody says, well, I'm living down here miserably so I can enjoy heaven. Well, I can understand that to a point, but I don't want to go down here. I don't want to live so miserably that people look at me and say, you're a Christian? You don't act very Christ-like. You don't act very happy. Man, I think I'll just go to my bar and get drunk. I'll be in better shape than you are. And he finishes his thought with verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom, in the grave whither thou goest. And in this random thought, if you will, here's what he's saying. He said, you're here, you're living here. Make the most of it. Do every day be treasured. Let every day be appreciated.
Why? Because
today is a gift from God. Who's to say we're going to live tomorrow? We make the joke about the judgment thing that was talked about, and we make a joke about that, and to be honest, rightfully so, because the man was off his rocker. But that does not mean that you and I are going to see tomorrow. Tomorrow is a gift from God. So let me take tomorrow and try to utilize it some way to the glory of God. To be a blessing to my family, to be a blessing to my friends, to be a blessing to people that I go to church. Whatever, God help me to make the most of tomorrow that it can
be a blessing so that I don't feel like,
you know, it's been a... Now what if tomorrow's a bad day? Do we have bad days? As the old Jew said, oy vey. Then what I need to do is, God, what were you trying to teach me today? Bad things that I experienced today, what are you trying to show me? Every day must be profitable.
Why?
Did you read the last thing? What did he say? He said, because when you die, when you go to that grave, and they take your body and put it in that grave, it says, there is no work, advice, knowledge, wisdom in the grave whether you go. When that body is laid down there, you can't raise up like I preached last week. You can't reach up out of that grave and say, excuse me, I want to undertake a very important project today. I mean, thank the Lord that Miss Teresa and Brother Julius did some things for the American Cancer Society. That's an admirable thing. And we should do more of those things. Thank God for places like the House of Hope downtown trying to help families. You go up to Roanoke to the huge, I don't know if you've ever been to the big, some of you have been to the Rescue Mission in Roanoke. That is a beautiful place. A lot of money been put into that place. Do I agree with a lot of things that necessarily these places stand for? No. But I have to look at what they're doing and how they're trying to help people. And for that, I have to say praise God. Because they need help. American Cancer Society isn't a spiritual thing. There's no church going on there, but they're trying to help people, and thank God for it. I'm diabetic. I would love for there to be a cure for diabetes. To be honest with you, I kind of think there is, and I think they're keeping it quiet, to be honest with you. I really do. Because that's what keeps all the pharmaceutical people in business. And keeps the doctors going. So there are some things I think that there are cures for, but they just won't let people know about it. But nonetheless, you know, if it ever comes about, for anybody that decides to give a few dollars to help combat diabetes. My point is, whatever the project is, give it your best, give it your all. Whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Why? Because when you get down there in that grave, you don't have a chance to do nothing. People that will tell you, older people, or people that have some type of physical infirmities, and they'll just say, boy, I wish I could do this again. Oh, if I had, have you ever heard this one? If I had my life to do over again. Just my prayer is I don't have too many regrets. I don't want to one day face death and say, boy, I messed my life up. I want to be able to say, yeah, I sure made some mistakes, but thank God, overall, it wasn't a bad life. And if we're loving the Lord, living for the Lord, trying to serve him, You can't go too far wrong. Can't go too far wrong. Let's have prayer. Father, we thank you for what the Scriptures teach us. Thank you that we do get obsessed sometimes with the aggravations of this life, and they do get aggravating. But I sure am glad and I am very thankful that you have given us this life, and we should take this life and we should make the most of it. And that it would be, that it might be to the glory and honor of God. I pray for the young people in this congregation. There are young couples, young people today. Father, I pray that you will impress upon them the importance of giving their lives to Jesus Christ and serving the Lord, putting the Lord first, and giving themselves lock, stock, and barrel to the Lord Jesus. May you work in our hearts and lives and help us all to be committed and dedicated to the cause of Christ. Speak to our hearts and help us to see the great truths that were presented by Solomon tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's sing two verses of
Number 308,
first two verses. Second, Brother Will, you come up and receive your offering tonight. And again, don't forget the things we talked about coming up for the weekend, busy weekend coming up. And right up here, I put the sign-up sheet right by between the Bible and that offering plate. So please put down what you feel like you'd like to bring for this Sunday. And we'll look forward to the revival meeting. We can have some spiritual food and some physical food. Amen. We are a Baptist, aren't we? So, got to have some of that physical food. All right. Brother Will, you lead us in prayer. Saturday. If not, look forward to seeing you on the Lord's Day. Have a good week. Here.